You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Nadine Lynn, and this is Field Talk, a podcast produced by the Ecological Society of America. In Field Talk, we learn more about the work of authors whose papers have been published in the Society's journals, Ecology, Ecological Applications, and Ecological Monographs. I recently spoke with Timothy Reagan, the Executive Director of the Marine Mammal Commission. The Commission supported publication of a special issue of Ecological Applications, which focused on Arctic marine mammals and climate change. The Marine Mammal Commission is an independent U.S. agency which oversees federal marine mammal conservation policies. According to Reagan, the Commission knew there were going to be a great many questions about the effects of climate change on Arctic marine mammals. So he went to Sue Moore and Henry Huntington, a couple of experts on Arctic marine issues. Moore, who works for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, is an expert on cetaceans and on Arctic ecology. Huntington has done a lot of work with Alaska natives and cultures. Moore and Huntington invited a cross-section of specialists, ranging from anthropologists to veterinary scientists, to offer insights to the future of Arctic marine mammals in the face of climate change. The supplement issue reveals which Arctic marine mammals may be most vulnerable to climate change and why. Reagan explains.
Certain species appear to be more fixed in their habits and less adaptable, and so those species have been highlighted as some that may be more vulnerable to climate change. A group of authors in this issue identified the polar bear, the narwhal, and the hooded seal as being more ice obligate or more dependent on ice, and for that reason they seem to be more at risk from the consequences of climate change. They're the physical chemical changes that are occurring, and those are the ones that we see and are most aware of. This loss of sea ice is perhaps the most evident, but there are also other changes associated with that, increasing freshwater flow into the Arctic Ocean, changes in temperatures, reductions in the length of seasons, and so on. Those physical chemical changes will drive a second suite of ecological changes that are very difficult to anticipate. For example, sea ice right now is very important in terms of the productivity of the Arctic Ocean. So we will see a shift from an ice edge associated ecosystem to one that is driven by processes characteristic of open water. So the loss of sea ice will probably result in fundamental change in the nature of the Arctic ecosystem and the water column. There's really nothing we can do about the physical chemical changes or even most of the ecological changes that occur secondary to those physical chemical changes unless we prevent climate change or get at the root cause itself. We will have an opportunity to affect human activity and therefore affect the secondary or indirect effects of climate change by controlling how things like fishing, shipping, oil and gas activities, and coastal development occur. But that will be a difficult and long drawn out process, and it isn't clear that that will be sufficient to conserve Arctic marine mammals as we know them today. The effects of climate change will not be just in the Arctic. There's no doubt that they will be concentrated there, but there will be important effects elsewhere. The Hawaiian monk seal is a subtropical species, and it, for example, will lose much of its hauling habitat as sea level rises. So species will be affected in ways that we haven't anticipated throughout the marine ecosystems of the world. In the Arctic, sea ice is an important determinant of the cycles of productivity, and Arctic marine mammals are dependent on high concentrations or high densities of this productivity and the algae, zooplankton, and small fishes that accumulate in the areas of high productivity. As we lose the sea ice, the nature of those ecosystems will change, and it's not clear that we will still have what we call hot spots of productivity these animals depend on for feeding. It's also worth noting that as the ice disappears, it will change the relationship among Arctic marine mammals. Certain marine mammals use the ice and are able to move into the ice, both for feeding but also to avoid predators. As that ice disappears, you may see killer whales extending their range farther north, and certain animals like the beluga whale unable to escape predation by killer whales because there isn't that ice refuge for them.
That was Timothy Reagan, executive director of the Marine Mammal Commission. Reagan says the commission plans to send a copy of the ecological application special issue to all U.S. congressional committees that handle environmental issues. I'm Nadine Lynn. Thanks for listening to Field Talk.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.